Come with us.
When you wish upon a star.
Come and remember the magic.
What's up, all you rad dudes and dudettes? Welcome to a bonus episode of 90s Disney. I'm your host, AJ Minotti, joined by my brothers, Mike Minotti and Chris Minotti.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm making noises.
Hi.
Guys, we're going to do a little casual chat about some of our favorite dark rides.
Traditional dark rides.
Traditional, not super dark rides. We did that already a few years ago now, actually, you can believe
it. That's all I'm going to bring up.
But this was inspired in part by our recent Universal trip where we rode E.T. Adventure four times.
We rode it a lot.
You know, I get this question actually a lot. AJ, do you want to try to define what we mean by dark ride?
Dark ride typically means you're indoors, slowly-ish moving through a series of scenes and vignettes that retell the events of a film or tell a new story in that film universe.
Right, like nothing special with the vehicle, like fast-moving parts, really.
So, you know, like
usually you might be thinking about
kid rides. These are your C-tickets often.
Like something that wouldn't count as like Men in Black. Like that's a step above.
Right. Also, like People Mover wouldn't start because you're outside. Like, yeah. But we don't disqualify Alice in Wonderland for going outside.
No, you can go outside for a moment, and a lot of these rides will load outside, but like predominantly indoors.
I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly. And super, but when we say super dark ride, you didn't see the episode. These are the ones where like there's like some thrills and some bumps and some special
like
effects.
Harry Potter, Forbidden Journey,
Indiana Jones, stuff like that.
A step above.
Yes.
Go look at Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh in Disney World. That's traditional dark ride. Then go look at the Winnie the Pooh ride in Tokyo. That's super dark ride. That'll show you the difference.
Is that super dark ride? Because it's trackless?
Just because of the trackless.
Trackless and a bunch of other effects, absolutely.
Fair. All right, Mike, why don't you start us off then?
Sure. So many places to go. Well, you know, why don't we start actually with E.T. Adventure, which is kind of what spurred this. So we had our Universal trip. We're going to do a full trip report at the start of next month. So that'll be out on, is it April the next month?
April 1st. Yeah, all right. It is indeed.
Oh, no April Fool's there.
No, it's kind of it is because we're Disney.
Well, I'm
not lying about that show. So we did that ride quite a few times, actually.
We did four ride-throughs.
It's just so relaxing.
It's fun. It's relaxing. And, you know, Universal just doesn't have a lot of those, and I wish it did have more.
Especially for your case, where a lot of it is, AJ and I are going to go do this. You know, you have fun.
Sure. And even like the rides I do with you, like, you know, Simpsons and everything, a lot of them are kind of motion
jarring,
simulators or have motion simulator elements to the point where, like, doing a bunch of them in a row, it's like, all right, where's the next Dramamine?
Get my ginger pills out.
Yeah. Right. So going on E.T., which is just a bunch of practical effects, you're just on a track. Yet there are a lot of special elements to this ride. It has an amazing queue. Mm-hmm. It's funny because, like, at first it's this very old school, early Universal queue.
Yeah, switchback with TVs.
You're right. And then you have this, like, pre-show area, and that's fun, where you have that video from Steven Spielberg. Then you go and you tell them your name.
Yeah, there's like a gimmick that has lasted this whole time that they're still doing with the names.
You get your card, and then you go through this. Then you kind of like do this transition. You go through this hollowed out, like fallen tree, and you're outside in the woods, kind of during E.T., during the sort of bike escape scene. And all sorts of fun details are there, notably Botanicus, E.T.'s teacher.
You mean Brotanicus.
Brotanicus is beaming in a signal, a call for help. We got to get E.T. back to the green planet because the green planet's dying and only E.T. can heal it. So then you go through the line, some other fun stuff. When you get on the ride itself, really fun ride vehicle because basically a bunch of bicycles on a platform. And the platform is suspended in midair, not midair, from above. Like Peter Pan's flight, which we'll talk about later.
I remember as a kid and hearing that before doing it the first time, being very confused what it would be.
Well, it's one of those rides that, like, much like Tower of Terror, the commercial and promotional videos or much more like, you're on actual bikes and you're flying.
Right. Yeah, how does this work?
Right, yeah. I bought myself that
a little oversell, yeah.
Right, like the tower ticker was like, you're just going in an elevator.
Yeah, you're just standing there and falling
for dear life.
Right. But, you know, then the ride itself is fun because at first it is sort of like, oh, you're just riding your bikes along and you're escaping the feds and NASA.
Slowly falling down a little cliff onto a car.
Whoa! Then there's like the moment where you start flying, and you have E.T. like in the basket in the front. This ride is great in the front row, actually. Normally for dark rides, doesn't really matter, but this
front
one,
and to the left.
Yeah.
Yep. When E.T. reacts to things, and it really kind of catches you off guard.
But then once you like take off and you're quote unquote flying, and you get that amazing view of the city, and it's a really cool looking cityscape. You have the iconic moon with the silhouette going by, and the Williams score going.
You spend some time there too. You really get to look at it.
Yeah. It's a good scene.
Well, it's cool. It's like, oh, that is like reenacting the movie. But then you actually do go to the Green Planet. Botanicus is there, Brotanicus. He's like, oh, E.T., go to Teekly.
Hurry.
So, you know, then E.T. starts healing his buddies, see Teekly, and then
they all get a moment.
Orbidon or something. There's
man. You saying it now has screwed me up.
Yeah.
Orbidon. And then that's the mushroom goes, welcome home.
You've arrived.
And then Magmar?
Magdal.
Magdal is like,
you have saved our planet. Come celebrate with us.
Yeah, and then we get E.T. and all the little E.T.s. They're partying. There's a kind of a fun version playing of the E.T. theme. They're being goofballs for a while, playing in water. Then we see E.T., and he's supposed to say her names of like the four times we did on our last trip. I don't think it synced up once.
It's always like a vehicle off or whatever. Or maybe they only pick like four or five names of the people in your vehicle. Who knows? But, but I don't think I've ever heard my name.
No, I think I did at some point. But hey, the fun is just telling them a fake name when you get there. That's where the real fun is.
Right, and you snicker to yourself.
So one cool thing that we did during our trip is that you're able to ask the people working at the ride at the end for certain attractions. We learned this from the Disney Food Blog video, actually. You can ask for a tour of the ride, and usually it means like a tour of the line and stuff. But we asked for this, and we got a nice... Do you remember his name, AJ?
Justin.
We got a nice fellow named Justin. What they do is he just took the three of us around to like the line, pre-show elements, pointing things out. And then in the main line, there are all sorts of fun details he was pointing out to us, like... They're kind of like up on this hill in the line. There's two astronauts, and they're wearing actual suits donated by NASA. But one of the astronauts' pants have been slowly falling down for like decades now.
And you would never notice until like actually staring at it.
And they're not allowed to fix it because like they're like still like pulley or whatever isn't up to code. So it's not safe for them to go up there.
Under OSHA regulations. So right. They can't get up there to fix it. So they just leave it there.
Yeah, there's a few. Check out that list of like attractions you can do that for.
And remember too, they're not always available. It's more if like somebody whose experience is around to do it.
Right.
So you just ask and kind of hope for the best. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's going to happen. So
yeah, and then
worth
asking. And then you know this isn't a guarantee, but then at the end of like the tour, he's like, "All right, you guys want to ride it again?"
And we're like, "Yeah,
heck yeah,
number three."
That was number three.
It went right back on it. So yeah, I had an absolute fantastic time on that.
Yeah, it makes me happy thinking about it.
All right, don't worry about Orbidon's name. I'm pretty sure it's Orbidon.
How have you not found it yet?
It's terrible at Googling.
I thought E.T. Adventure ride characters, and I even typed in Magdal just to get me there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. All right, AJ, your turn.
Okay. I'm going to talk about one that we haven't written yet, but we saw the video. You might have written it, but it was recently updated, and I was impressed at how much it was updated, and that is Snow White's Adventure at Disneyland.
Very impressive.
Which has a long history going back a long ways, and it was the scary adventure for a long time, and it freaked out the children.
Well, and the interesting thing, too, like way back in the day, you were the viewpoint of the character.
Yeah, you were Snow White, but then people complained, like, why didn't we see Snow White in the Snow White ride and stuff like that?
It still took till the 80s to bring her in.
But. Right. Yeah. But what this ride kind of demonstrated very well, I think, is, typically dark rides don't always have, like, the best animatronics, except for things like Navi River Journey.
Yeah, if that's the showcase.
The kind of easy way to make up for that is projection mapping works very well in a dark ride.
Well,
there were some really cool projection mapped effects in this ride.
They use so much fluorescent paint and all that, and like the combination of that with the projection mapping really blends together pretty nicely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more of that when they update these rides going forward. So I haven't actually done this new version yet.
Okay.
It looked great on video, though. I mean, this is what they were going to do with the Spaceship Earth refurb. That
that's right.
Right, with the guiding light.
Yeah, and like it was going to be a lot of that. I mean, it's coming for all of these rides at some point.
There's that great scene with the Magic Mirror, and it shatters, but it's projection map. So when it shatters, it goes like outside of the frame itself. Right. And it like actually looked kind of real.
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of really neat effects there. Actually kind of suddenly maybe bumps that up into maybe the best of the Fantasyland dark rides, at least at the moment.
Man, you saying that now just kind of upset me. Can you imagine like sweet projection mapping effects at the top of Spaceship Earth? Like all that space
I know.
Hey, look, it's coming. They're going to have to do that eventually. You want to talk about Spaceship Earth, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, we could.
Ooh, transition.
This, if I think about what is my true favorite dark ride, it might be this.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nostalgic for us. We've done it many, many times. It's also very relaxing. Mm-hmm. It's very smooth. It's just a good time. But I do tell people who go like to do this, and you'll get the first time Disney World people like, oh, I don't know, it's just kind of whatever. I don't know that that's just us because we love it so much.
Maybe. I mean, some of it has. It's funny, the stuff that's aged on the ride now is the stuff that they added in that last refurb.
Yeah,
right.
The poorly cut out picture of your face.
The narration, it's not as. It's still good, but it's not Jeremy Irons.
Due for an update. I still love going on it every time.
It was updated, Mike. We got the newspaper boy back.
That's right. They turned him around.
They turned him back around. It was weird they ever turned him around.
They had to dust off his face and his front of his jacket, but he's good now.
Yeah, right. Wipe the boogies away. He's good to go now.
Yeah, but that ride will always be a must-do for me. And if you're ever worried about crowd levels when you get to Epcot, and if you see there's a massive line there, you're in trouble. Same with the land. Those two are your gauges if you're going to
have a line. The land's not a good gauge anymore because it's really? Like... It's finally crossed over into like cult classic status.
You're right.
And everyone has to ride Living with the Land.
Good for Living with the Land on making it, which I guess counts. Kind
is that a dark ride?
I don't know.
It's not very dark. It's a lighthouse.
Yeah. You said boat rides earlier, but there's one particularly I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Spaceship Earth, if you want to learn more about that, listen to our Spaceship Earth 94 episode with our favorite version of the ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one.
I want to talk about what I think is actually an underappreciated one over at California Adventure.
Oh,
Mike and Sully to the Rescue, the Monsters, Inc.
I agree.
Dark ride. Mm-hmm. I mean, they took what was reviled as maybe the worst ride in Disney history, Superstar Limo.
It did not last long either.
Right. You kept the track and like the ride vehicles and even like some of the animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have this really fun. It's what like those classic Disney dark rides are. It's just a recreation of the movie.
Right.
But this one's actually a bit longer than some of those. It's a very complete recreation. Like some of these other dark rides you complain about, like Snow White and others, you kind of get to like the end and like they show the villain. You're introduced to the villain, and then like you don't really see the villain defeated. Yeah.
There's like two or three missing scenes that you kind of skip,
and it's like, and we're all happy now. It's like, oh, okay. Here you got like the whole thing. Randall's almost built up. You have a lot of great sequences, a great Pepper's Ghost effect with Randall. The door room.
You know what makes this ride? Is the detail of the sets themselves.
Yeah.
They are like all the straight up recreations. Well, they're very good.
And I think part of this, because it's actually not like that much of a black light dark ride. So everything's actually built out pretty well here.
Especially like you said, the door scene. It's almost like the effect in Alice in Wonderland where there's, you know, rotating
card
guys. Yeah, but there's so many mirrors in use, but it really works well.
You know, you have a transition there if you want to go for it.
I do. Alice in Wonderland is actually a very cool ride.
Over in Disneyland.
Very unique for its ride system that goes inside and outside multiple times. So that's really cool. This one also got an update a few years back where they integrated a lot more of like...
screen effects.
Basically. Yeah, screens, but like very...
Well done.
Yeah, they're projected onto like uneven surfaces so they don't look so obvious. I think this ride's great. Like you said, it does a good job of capturing the whimsy of the ride. I like the Cheshire Cats disappearing effect in this one. They do a very good job with that. And like you said, when you see all the card guards marching in a circle, it looks like there's like hundreds of them. So
that outside bit is fun. Good time.
Yeah. You know, it's a unique view of Fantasyland. Yeah. You got a good view of the Matterhorn from there. So that's really cool.
I remember it was so neat the first time we went to Disneyland, which wasn't until like 2004. For me,
yeah, it
was
like there's a ride we don't have in Florida.
This is weird. We don't have Alice in Wonderland or Pinocchio over in Florida, so it kind of blew my mind even seeing it.
Yeah, that's
and there's still an original Disneyland relic in the queue there. You know what I'm thinking of?
Yes, the ticket booth.
One of the old ticket booths is still just kind of hanging out there. There's like four of them there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever see like a strange looking, like kind of small stand that's closed up, you're like, why is that there? It was an old ticket booth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris.
Let's see. So I'm going to probably go with Mr. Toad, I suppose.
Stick with the Disneyland one that we don't have anymore.
Stick with the Disneyland one. This was another one. We did this originally in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
a couple times. Yeah,
we did a few times. Yeah.
We had the Dueling Toads.
It was huge.
Right, and we've done an episode about Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh and that version of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, were there, do you recall, other than the dueling, but the scenes are still pretty similar from
it was a little. It was a little different just because there was the scenes were a little more open because they had to accommodate both tracks.
Right.
So you're like going through the town square and stuff like that.
Same general ideas, though.
Town square scene.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
And there's like, you still die and go to heck.
You still, yes, go to heck.
Check this out, the bullet train to heck.
But honestly, one of the coolest things about that attraction might be the facade, the exterior.
Yeah, it's a
great, it is cool.
Great building, yeah.
It is fun just to sit there kind of stare at it. It blends in very nicely with the environment there.
A lot of detail.
But yeah, that's just a classic. You got to kind of wonder, like, if they ever got rid of that. I mean, the first like Rage campaign ever was getting rid of the Magic Kingdom one.
Right.
What's going to happen if this Say one kind of goes?
In 2024.
Yeah, right. But, all right, Mike Zors.
Yeah, let's stay in Disneyland. Let's talk about Pinocchio's daring journey, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Pinocchio a lot of, like, all the Golden Age Disney animated movies, that and Fantasia, probably my favorites. So re-experiencing Pinocchio is a good time. You know, they really go for it with that Pleasure Island scene and the donkey.
They do, yeah. A little freaky.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a bit freaky. Monstro looks pretty cool there. Another very good Pepper's Ghost with the Blue Fairy.
Yes.
That scene is set up very well. But yeah, I like Pinocchio. And again, we didn't have this one in Florida, so the very first
time. Yeah, right. That was always the wild thing. Like, yeah, this ride.
That blew my mind.
Been here all the time.
And at the very end, when you're like in like Pinocchio's village, very cozy. Like, yes. Nights in that like old Italian village. It's very good.
This definitely German. Fell for the, yeah, German. This definitely fell for
no,
the...
Italian.
It's Italian, but it's Northern Italy, right, where you have German influences.
But this definitely fell for the whole, skipping scenes there. Like,
yeah, like Monstro comes
pops
up,
out, yeah.
And then you're home.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait, there's Geppetto, like Pinocchio, and then you're home.
Pinocchio! Hey, we're okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you're supposed to be in the whale's mouth.
Why you cry that? Because that, Pinocchio, you are dead. Oh,
what a good that Monstro animatronic figure, I guess, that like pops out is pretty good.
Monstro's great. I love Monstro. Every time I see Monstro in like villain. Fantasia or in Storybook, right. I pop for Monstro in Kingdom Hearts.
I was going to say, was he ever in Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, there's a whole level inside
you.
Him.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Where you, that's where you meet Evil Riku. Yeah.
Yes, very important.
He's been hiding there this whole time.
AJ.
We mentioned it. Let's go to it. As these are some class examples. Let's do something a little more modern. Let's talk about the Navi River Journey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the common complaints.
It's short. It's so short.
It's missing like one more like big show scene.
Yeah, but it's still... I would never wait more than like half an hour for it.
No.
But I do enjoy it very much because, A, I love Pandora. I love the environment. And they nail all of that in this ride. All the effects and all the bioluminescent plant life and the way they have like the layers of projection for the creatures going by. And that shaman animatronic is so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
The song is incredible.
Yeah,
I love it.
All that James Horner.
I just wish you did like a quarter circle around it instead of a straight beeline.
Yeah, that's true too.
Like a little bit more exposure to that thing. Add 10 seconds to the ride or something.
Yeah. But no, it's still great. It's great that we got a new water...
Yeah,
ride kind of old school. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know, I am. School. I'm very glad that Avatar or Pandora isn't just Flight of Passage. Much as I love Flight of Passage,
right.
Like it's good to have.
You need two rides,
yeah. Exactly. I'm glad it's a dark ride, even though like right now you still have to wait for it. But someday, like a lot of these dark rides, like that's what I appreciate about them. It's like here's something you can probably get in like 20 minutes, unless it's Peter Pan's Flight for some reason.
I feel like the last few times we've done it, it's been 10-15 minutes.
It's getting better.
It's settling down.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally settling down a bit.
It is. Yeah, it's cool. The music, it's one of those soundtracks I'll put on at work or something.
And it is cool that like all of Pandora, like the whole soundtrack is on Spotify and Apple Music, so you can listen to just the ride through, with the shaman singing and everything.
I was trying to think of an obscure one that wasn't Disney. There's one that AJ and I have done. And there's even a Defunctland episode about
it.
Mike's never done it.
Don't do it.
Why not?
Because it's so bad.
If you're from the Pittsburgh area, if you've ever done the Garfield Dark Ride, which is a boat ride.
Oh, where was this at? Kingsland?
This is at Kennywood.
Kennywood. So to give the quick version of it, so there was this old Tunnel of Love ride, classic Tunnel of Love ride at Kennywood, the Old Mill.
The Old Mill, that's it.
Yep. And it was nothing. You were on it. It was very much, it's just like a trough track of water with some little vignettes off
to why it became a Tunnel of Love, because teenagers were bored.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do in there, but it was dark. Yeah, so, and then they've struck a deal with Jim Davis in the early 2000s, and it was like Garfield's nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
And it's just painted flats and black lights, and like, I don't know, Garfield like runs out of lasagna or something.
I'd be upset too.
It was pretty bad.
Man, I remember you and I waited. We waited for like a good 45 minutes.
We
did, because
we were like, oh, this is Garfield.
It's Garfield. We like Garfield, and
they,
right?
Remember they gave you 3D glasses. It was like those ones you'd get in like a comic book where like red would pop out a little more.
Right, gosh.
And like that. So you're like wearing these and it's like black light, this bad 3D that's making stuff just not look right. It's like, what am I doing?
Oh, it was fun. That was good.
I have to watch that defunct land at some point.
It's a good one. Yeah. He really gets it's involved. Interesting.
Okay. Let's talk about Peter Pan's flight.
Okay.
Which is always a very long line.
Mike, how does one fly?
All it takes is a little bit of trust. Oh, and something I forgot. A little bit of pixie dust.
No. Yeah, say
faith
it right.
And, faith and trust and pixie dust.
No.
Okay, you go.
Then you do it.
Pixie dust.
Yes. At the end of the Disneyland version of this, the way that Peter Pan says pixie dust just makes me die laughing for some reason.
Wait, it's only the Disneyland version?
Yes.
Only in Disneyland, yeah.
I'll talk about both of them, because it is weird how these rides are similar but different, and like they're both better in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like Disneyland's cityscape kind of looks old, but it has this great Starfield effect during the diorama. I think that it's Captain Hook is much better. Captain Hook sounds weird in the Florida version. The Florida version, though, has a much better cityscape and opening. You have a bit more of like being in the kids' room and seeing Nana down there.
And the extended queue is pretty good.
Extended queue in Florida is great. I always like this ride. I find it rarely is worth like the insane like wait that it gets.
95-minute wait, yeah.
And especially because, you know, when you're in Disney World or Disneyland, like, well, this is the one that flies. And I'm like, I'll go to Universal and do the one that flies there, and it never has a line. So I like Peter Pan. I'm not saying it's overrated. Of course, it's a stone cold classic, and I'm always happy to be on it.
Right.
But it is one that's very easy for me. Like, I've done that a lot. I'm not waiting. Unless I'm like there with a kid who really wants to do it, then of course I'll wait. But otherwise, right. I'm good.
Yeah, and the updated queue definitely addresses part of that, because it is pretty, I don't know if it's interactive, but it's pretty good. It's like entertaining.
Right. You haven't seen it. So it's like you're in the darling bedroom for the kids, and Tinkerbell kind of flies around. It's a projection effect. It looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that can keep you kind of occupied for 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they did that with another ride where they enhanced the queue to be entertaining while you waited.
Dumbo?
No, but that's good too. Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I was wondering when this was going to come up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're
currently working on Disneyland's version.
Yes, which is a bummer because it's probably going to be closed when we go in August. My son's upset because he loves the Haunted Mansion. That was his favorite ride in Florida. But I like what they do too. They kind of give you the option where I remember a cast member was kind of at the junction and he was saying it pretty well. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, the line splits in two directions. One way is fast, another way is fun. Because it would be quicker to not get off and go into the little play area.
Yeah.
It's more fun to go.
More fun.
Mess around with ghosts. Yeah. But Haunted Mansion is such a stone cold classic. It's gotten its tweaks and updates over the years. Now we have the Hatbox Ghost in Florida. We have him back in California for that matter. But is there any, maybe except for like Space Mountain with the lights on, is there any greater Disney nerd hope than the ride vehicle will come to a stop in front of the singing bus?
Yeah, because it always stops at some point where you're on it.
That's what you want.
Yeah. It's like, what do you say about Haunted Mansion, right? Do you have a preference, Disneyland or Disney World, on this one?
Not strongly.
No. I know that Disney World has its Hatbox Ghost in a different place now, right?
Yeah. How about the Disneyland Paris one, though, with the
The one that's kind of Old West thing. I did do that. I mean, it is
new. I don't mean that one. Crap.
Oh, you're talking about Phantom Manor over in Hong Kong with the monkey?
No. I'm talking about when you get on the, like, it's the bride on the stairwell.
What's that
called? Like the marquee in the back?
Right, the backdrop?
The backdrop, yeah.
I don't know which one you're talking
about. Because Disneyland is just like black, and there's like a little bit of a light effect as you enter like the tunnel to get in. But I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's the video.
It looks so good. It's the bride on the staircase.
Well, I mean, it's by process of elimination. If it's not Paris and it's not Hong Kong.
Yeah, where else is it at?
It must be Tokyo.
Tokyo, then. Yes. Thank you.
Gotta be. I did like the one in Paris, though. It was fun how it was, like, because it's in Frontierland there, so it's like a, you know, old, like, ghost town kind of a thing.
Right.
Which basically only comes into play when you go outside, right? It is like you're in this outdoor Old West town at night with a bunch of ghosts and stuff. That's fun. I mean, I don't know if I prefer that to the original, but
also I think both California and Florida, especially Florida, because we saw it as kids, does such a good job of, like, you see the mansion in its entirety, and it's dimensional. It's not just the front. You go around it.
Right.
As a kid, you were convinced that was the building you were
yeah.
in.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And, you know, once Google Maps and Google Earth happened, you realize there's this massive structure yeah. behind
it's
it.
Like it's 20 times the size of the house.
And I love if you're on the Liberty Bell steamboat in Disney World, you do, like, see the full mansion as mm-hmm. you go through that river, like, from all angles. It's really cool.
Where do you guys stand on this is a hot topic now of... Yeah. Of the people who recite the ghost host stretching room spiel with him.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
I agree. Just like, you don't have to do it. Yeah. We get it. You've seen this before. So have I. Good for
I'm
you.
I'm surprised you're not one of the people who does it.
No, I have my limits.
You have respect. I maybe do it like under my breath or something.
Right, but I'm not going to like be loud enough to the whole room hears right. me.
I could see if it's like the park's like closing or closed, like last ride.
Yeah, there's no one else there. I'm sure, have fun.
I'm going to guess that's a Disneyland thing.
Probably.
Yeah, all the locals.
Also, I think one of my favorite gags in a dark ride is the ghost host saying, "I will lower the safety bar for good. You." That's pretty good.
It's good.
Something else I just learned, too, was that Disneyland kind of was doing a thing like we did with E.T. with the tour.
Oh.
They were doing a tour for the Pet Cemetery area.
Yeah,
I
see.
I had no idea they did that. It's gone now because it's, you know, all beat demolished.
It's
but
literally gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's truly gone.
It's dead.
It is dead.
And, of course, to quickly dovetail, we should talk about Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Yeah, which is, I mean, just, yeah, very good. We talked about that on Overlays very recently.
Right,
it's
right.
very good. I, you know, I like it just as much.
That was probably when I first went to Disneyland with you during, like, BlizzCon stuff. The realization when it hit, like, I'm finally going to do it because I was such a big Jack Skellington fan.
Yeah, that's right. That was, like, the first time
I did it. I was, like, truly, like shaking with anticipation.
Mm-hmm. The anticipation.
But now that it's done, I've done it. It's like, yeah, it's fun. It's good.
Yeah.
It is rough that, like, they had to close for so long to put it up and then close again for so long to bring it back, to put it back.
Well, that's like people were saying, like, by the time they're done renovating it, it'll just be time for Haunted Mansion Holiday again.
Right.
So, like, we're going to go, like, a year without Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Chris.
Let's see, another boat one. Oh, you did one classic, the other classic, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Man, so this one's a point of contention as far as Magic Kingdom or Disneyland.
Is
and
it?
Honestly, it was for me when we always go to the Magic Kingdom. Disneyland is truly the best one.
Yeah.
My issue with that argument is you get a much better final view with Jack Sparrow in Florida.
Sure, but what?
Much better.
You do.
I'll take the extended cave scene and an extra drop over that any day.
And not even
Blue
that.
Bayou.
Blue Bayou. That's what I was going to say. The Blue Bayou Blue scene Bayou's might be my great. Favorite. With the guy rocking on the banjo mm-hmm. player on the chair.
Oh, it makes me think more of Cursed Monkey Island than anything.
You know what? Yeah, you're kind of right.
Yeah,
maybe that's why I like it so much.
Just that ding, da, ding, da, ding, ding.
Yeah, it's rough. What do you say about Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah,
like, no, what do you say? It's incredible. The ride's just so good. They'll never make anything like that again.
Although,
no.
Similar vein, how about the three Caballeros over in Mexico?
That was quite the glow up.
Yeah.
I can never do it again.
You got what? Stuck?
Oh, you got stuck.
We didn't even get stuck. We got, like, slowed to a crawl and it went.
That is a lie. Fine. We were stuck there for at least half an hour.
But, like,
but we were moving.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're on water. Where else are you going to go?
Hey, you go through the restaurant. It's really dark. It's like you're in the city at night. I mean, look, the screen effects, it's a lot of it. That's not great. But then at the end, you get the actual animatronics mm-hmm. now, which is fantastic.
The animatronics have history.
I guess the fun part about it is that, in a way, Dream Flight lives on because it's the same kind of technology that mm-hmm. they did for that. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever curious about Dream Flight and kind of what some of the effects were, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Or just listen to our Dream Flight episode.
There you go.
AJ. Need help? I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
We haven't talked about Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh yet.
Oh, yeah. So, that's.
But another one with two different versions. And again,
three different.
Well, so there's like that super dark ride.
In yeah.
And in fact, I think they actually do just have a version of the normal one in Shanghai now also.
Oh,
oh really?
There's all like Winnie the Pooh mini area, remember? It's mm-hmm. weird.
It's interesting. Wait, so they did the dark ride version and not the super dark ride version?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a weird choice.
Well, hey, but sometimes you need some
cheaper.
Smaller rides. You know, but you need these rides.
I would still consider that a small-ish ride
I agree.
Anyone could do. No, the super one.
I guess it's a lot more expensive.
Interesting choice is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I like this ride. Like,
I love this ride.
Look, we all miss Mr. Toad in Florida, but look, I like Winnie the Pooh more than I like Mr. Toad.
Yeah, turns out.
There's a lot of great scenes here with the bouncing with Tigger, Huffalumps and Woozles, another very good Pepper's Ghost effect with Winnie the Pooh.
My issue with the California one is it's all out of order.
The California one's not as good. It doesn't really make, it doesn't flow very well.
There's, you gotta wonder if it's because of
you don't have the bouncing.
Well, yeah, they had to be a space
issue. Yeah, they had to cram it into the
it was literally in a theater show, right?
Yeah, so. I'm sure that was the consideration.
They had the queue space and the theater space to work with.
Yeah, the story just doesn't flow as well.
It's still great.
I still like it a lot. It's one I actually try to do pretty much every time. Winnie the Pooh. And the kids always like Winnie the Pooh.
Well, it's something we've talked about before. Is like the hidden amazing candy store back there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody goes back there.
Yeah. And you know, with Winnie the Pooh, as opposed to like some of these other properties we're talking about, there's always something new with Winnie the Pooh happened, or something not that long ago with Winnie the Pooh. Everybody knows Winnie.
Yeah, and there's like a Disney Junior show now that, you know, is kind of popular,
and then also too, the Florida version does have a nice queue as well with like Rabbit's Garden.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's interactive.
Pooh's House and stuff. Yeah, and the kids enjoyed that.
I can kind of just list off some more, unless Chris, you have one specifically.
Let's get
the rest of them because we haven't.
I could be silly, but no, nothing good.
What were you gonna say? That was gonna be silly.
No, I'm saying I could be if I thought of some.
No, but one of the kind of big newer ones, and again, it's in two parks, but pretty much identical this time, is Voyage of the Little Mermaid was the show. Little Mermaid, what's it called? Journey of the Little Mermaid. I'm gonna look that up. But
don't let AJ Google it.
No, for love of God, he'll be on there for two rounds until I yell at him to pay attention. Be present, AJ.
So, well, this is another one that has two versions. Mm-hmm. The California Adventure versions.
They're pretty identical.
It's in the old Whoopi Goldberg. I wanted to bring that up because I just love it. There was a Whoopi Goldberg like show at California Adventure. What was that called? Golden Dreams.
Yeah.
All right.
Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid. Okay. There you go. The difference is that the line is very nice in Disney World. And
yeah, it's very immersive.
Lots of cool, Nautilus kind of hints there, too, from the old 20,000.
Right, and that's where you have the weird, Mickey shadow that'll show up once a year on.
Yeah, and then also that, forced perspective view of Steamboat Willie Mickey if you stand in the right spot
right.
Like the rocks.
Do you get a scuttle animatronic account for your adventure?
Not in the pre-show, I don't think, no. You get a nice scuttle. There's this whole thing with the crabs bringing by a bunch of junk and scuttles identifying
I'm glad that's, a big trend with new-ish rides is getting animatronic in the queue.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so good. I love it. Do it every time.
I think this is a fun dark ride. Some of the the screen effect animation stuff could look better, in my opinion.
Like when you go underwater, you mean?
Yeah, just like whenever it's like a screen, like that animation looks almost
the screen-ish
to me.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Walt Disney feature animation worked on that. I know what you mean.
It's almost more like Hermione in the spiders and Forbidden Journey.
Sure.
It's like hanging out there.
Yeah.
But the Ursula animatronic is phenomenal.
That's another can I please get stuck here?
I got stuck there once.
Yeah. Oh,
it was on our honeymoon. We got stuck and I was like, yes.
You know, I do like how much scuttle there is. I like that he kind of opens and closes.
Yeah, he's like the narrator.
He has that funny line at the end. It's like, and they all lived happily ever after. They also lived in a giant castle, which ain't so bad either.
That is good.
But this is another one, too, where it's like we're building up to the confrontation with Ursula, and then she's just like kind of in the background like, I'm getting electrocuted.
I do love
forever.
That figure, though.
And then like literally 2 feet next to her, they're just like, we're married and happy now.
Another thing I love about this ride, because it's tucked in the very back of the Magic Kingdom in Florida. There's never much of a line for it. There can be in California Adventure sometimes.
You got to wonder if they're disappointed, because the queue is made up that they expect a huge line for how big it is.
And I'm sure it gets crowded.
Once in a while, I'm sure there's some
spring break was probably crowded.
I probably never waited more than 10 minutes for it. But
again, I like it's nice. It's important to have rides like that.
Mm-hmm. Also, a very good aerial meet and greet adjacent to the ride in Florida. Yes.
And it's cool that they made the castle as a
The whole exterior, that whole area, I love the vibe there. It looks great.
Just that whole new Fantasyland update alone was just...
It was really well done. The whole
really
thing
well
really
done.
Was, yeah.
So Frozen Ever After.
I would love... They'll never do it. I wish they'd go back and replace the animatronics with the newer style
I bet they
ones.
Would. I bet they will someday.
Why? It won't...
They'd have to close the ride.
Yeah, they have to close the ride. It already gets people
maybe
in.
Maybe at some point there has to be a big fur.
That's what I mean. At some point there'll be one. Maybe
in the heat death of the universe eventuality. Yes,
so
that might
talking
happen.
About. So in Epcot, where this ride first opened, it's like the projection map faces,
which was all the rage in the late 2000s and early. Right.
Well, it's like projection behind the face, right?
Yeah, it's like inside.
Like, it's like inside the head. If you're familiar with how Buzz Lightyear looks in Space Ranger Spin.
Right. Which in the late, you know, nine or early 2000s was awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like,
oh, this is crazy.
I think it's when they just opened the newer version of this ride recently in...
Hong Kong?
No, in Disney Sea, I think, right? No? Was it Hong Kong? Maybe it was Hong Kong.
Oh, it's Hong Kong, yeah.
It's Hong Kong. You're right.
Yeah, because it's a whole land.
It's like the full like faces. It's like, it's actually, just, yeah, it looks way better.
They can animate the full face now. Yeah.
But I like this ride. We talked about this a bit. We did it. I think at some point we talked about Maelstrom in this. I think we're kind of famously like, not anti-Maelstrom, but a little bit like, you're really fine. That upset about Maelstrom? Right. This ride's fun. I think that it's...
going backwards is always exciting. Backwards is
always good. A little hill is nice. And kids, hey, look, you got to have a Frozen ride.
Yeah, it's a lot of kids' first drop. Yeah, and when you first come in and Olaf like walks around the corner and comes up to you, that's a great effect. Yeah,
great animatronic. I did just bring it up, but Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin is still a lot of fun.
There's a few of those out there.
We actually had a listener on Twitter said after listening to our episode about it, he was able to become what's the top
Galactic
score?
Hero.
Is that because of my tips
with
the robot hand?
Yes, he thanked you.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't you share this with me?
Don't you get the alerts?
No,
Twitter
I don't.
Knowledge. Jay, you're in charge of that. You have to tell us.
You have to forward these things to me.
Well, that's great.
you're welcome.
Here's one. It's funny, even though in the Disneyland version, you do have like more control over your gun.
Because it just comes out.
I do prefer the Disney World one.
Still. Oh, sure. And there is like that for us, that weird nostalgia of like, I can still remember when this was Take Flight.
Right, exactly. I can still space out
the ride path.
Right.
Flight in my head.
You know, this used to be an airplane turbine.
Yeah.
Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat.
Isle of Adventure. Isle of Adventure's only traditional dark ride.
I do like it. It's fun.
They toned down the spinning, which is a bit of a bummer.
Right. When I did it a year and a half ago with the kids, I feel like more things were broken. When we did it recently, it seemed to be in better shape.
I still think it needs a pretty big rebuild.
Yeah.
A coat of paint. Everything is dull.
It needs work, and I bet it'll get it at some point.
Even like the little bits of animation you see, it's very like mid-90s CG.
Right.
It needs like what Spider-Man did and just have some new CG.
I'll tell you what, though. It's still popular. There is a bit of
and it does a very good job telling the story of the Cat in the Hat. Like, it hits all the plot points there.
Yeah, it lasts a little longer. I guess that's one good advantage with the Universal Dark Rides. The two of them, they're not scared to kind of go all out with the story.
Mm-hmm.
They really fill out the time with that. So that's always kind of...
And like the Dr. Seuss rhyming is fun. I like the fish in that, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the some cool effects with Thing 1 and Thing 2.
Although those characters weird me out. who are these two little goblins? Where do they come from? What are they, who's responsible for them?
They just had,
I assume.
Like, God.
Maybe not. I don't know.
They
don't eat human food.
People have those Thing 1, Thing 2 shirts. And I'm like,
but yeah, the school just had what? What do they call it? Dr. Seuss Week,
Dr.
right?
Dr. Seuss Week.
And my son's kindergarten teacher is very into Dr. Seuss. She had a Thing 1 whatever shirt made for every kid. So there was like Thing 22.
Oh, my gosh.
And Harrison was Thing 19. He's very excited.
Very good.
So they got a cool picture of the teacher and all the things.
Well, that's fun.
Now I'm trying to think if there is anything that we're forgetting. And I'm sure there is something.
Did Cedar Point ever have a dark ride?
Not that I can think of. They had the train and everything like that. I mean, yeah.
What about?
I know Knott's Berry Farm does, but I know very little about Knott's Berry Farm. We have to rectify that at some point.
Not Kings Island. Well, Kings Island, they have a dark ride. It's like it's a spooky manor, but it's a gun game too.
Yeah,
my kids really like that. How about Busch Gardens when we went? There's nothing there.
There might be something, but again, we can't just.
Talk. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
thinking out loud.
Is there anything else Disney that we're forgetting?
I'm trying to think. If I go through Magic Kingdom in my head, I think we hit all the big ones. Epcot, like Spaceship Earth.
You want to say anything about Horizons?
We don't need to talk about Extinct Ones.
We didn't talk about Journey to Imagination.
We talked about Journey into Imagination.
Imagination, excuse me.
We talked about it before on this show, and not great.
Needs improvement.
Yeah, needs some big work.
Oh, we should. I think this counts. The Finding Nemo submarine voyage.
Do you think?
Yeah.
It's more like a transportation to get to...
No. I mean in Disneyland. The actual submarines.
Oh, yes.
So
okay, sorry.
Part of me is actually not sure if that counts, but the one in Epcot might count more to me.
Oh.
I don't know. Both of them kind of have problems. Like, the one in Epcot, very short. It's fine. And then the submarine... Yeah, but
that angelfish chasing him always looks good.
It's good. Well, yeah. Cuckoo arm. But the submarine, look, I like it. It gets uncomfortable in that submarine, man.
My kids are very excited about it.
I'm sure they'll have fun. And, you know, it is neat that you are actually underwater.
Yes.
It's fun. I think that might be it. AJ, anything else? Unless you want to, I think we maybe have some.
Yeah, have some mail.
Let's open up the old mailbag.
Yeah.
So first, we have a response to the Q&A feature on Spotify. This message comes from Sunbonnet Trio, and they say, Canadian fan here. Poutine is indeed on our McDonald's menus here and most fast food places, because this is in response to our McDonald's episode. McDonald's poutine is meh. A&W is the best. And Costco food court.
A&W.
Oh, A&W? Yeah. Oh, A&W is huge in Canada. Well,
we had the best A&W in Boardman. And they freaking closed it for an AutoZone.
They had incredible chili cheese fries.
Yeah. Remember that it had that big fireplace in the middle with beautiful. Like with stools around it.
Yeah, and it was the legit like drive-through like order, and they came out on roller skates.
Yeah, it ruled.
It was great.
Yeah,
A&W root beer on tap.
It's good.
Hits different, man. It really does. But no, so A&W in Canada, their whole gimmick is the family burgers. So there's like the junior burger, the grandpa burger. Was that the case?
Yeah, we had those. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's still at least when I was there 10 years ago, that was the thing. And yes, I did have poutine at A&W, and I remember enjoying.
Since you brought up burgers, real quick, my family and I went to a Steak and Shake today, and it's been forever.
Steak and Shake, it's still good, but they changed it. It's not like a sit down anymore.
No, it's a sit down. You just order at a screen, and then
you go pick up at a counter. That's not sit down. You don't get a waitress.
Okay, I'm sitting down. Technically, you sit down at McDonald's too, Chris.
You know what I mean?
I am wrong. You are right. But yeah, it was good. Anyway.
All right. And then let's see. Over in our Gmail account, which is 90sDisneyPodcast@gmail.com. This is from Jack Ivins. He says, hello, AJ, Mike, and Chris. Writing to you from London by way of Scotland. Oh. My sister turned me onto your podcast. As a fellow 90s Walt Disney World kid, I love your show.
Well, thank you.
You gave her a shout out on your podcast previously from her write-in for Character Dining, which she will have bragging rights forever.
Oh,
we've got a family of fans.
That's right. Loved your Dixie Landings episode. That was our hotel back in the day. Stay there on my honeymoon, and it hadn't changed. Sadly, the games in the arcade had somewhat moved on since the 90s, but still flooded me with joy.
There's a Guitar Hero now.
Yes, and that Halo game probably.
Right. And Doodle Jump. They always have that stupid.
You know what? I actually like the
Doodle Jump. Yeah, probably because your son likes it.
Yeah. It continues, we both were lucky enough to go to Florida as children have since taken our own children. It is my sister Holly's 40th birthday
on
April 7th. We were all going to Disneyland Paris, including Holly's daughter Penny and my two, Maggie and Eddie. Is there any chance you could wish her a happy birthday on your next podcast? I know she'll be listening and a great surprise for her. Loving your work and looking forward to the next episode. If you're ever in the UK, let us know. It would be great to have a beer and chat Disney. All the best, Jack Ivan.
Okay, no one say happy birthday. Next question.
No. Happy. Was that Maggie or is that one of the kids?
Holly has written into the show before.
Yep. Happy birthday, Holly. Happy four. AJ here just turned 40.
Yes.
He doesn't look any worse for wear. So,
happy birthday. I feel great.
Congratulations. You know where? I want to go to Scotland and get something. Chris and I went there back when we were in high school. Yeah. We had a school trip. We had a lot of fun. We hung out in Edinburgh and some other places. It was good.
We had the chance to see the Dublin
Guinness Factory.
Yeah,
well, that'd be Ireland, Factory.
I know, but I'm just saying in general in that trip. And it was so sad that we didn't do it.
We did steal some dirt from Edinburgh Castle.
Yeah, we were terrified at customs.
For our friend's garden. We got away with it. Don't tell anybody. I want to go to Scotland again at some point because I actually want to really go to the island of Islay, where many of my favorite scotches, including Lagavulin and Ardbeg.
You want to have that Ron Swanson moment?
Yeah, I want my own Ron Swanson moment in Islay, so maybe someday.
I go to the UK sometimes for work, so.
Yeah, it's right.
I've never been.
We go up to Manchester.
Well, now my goal, I want to go to Liverpool. I want to go see a match at Anfield so bad.
You were killing me on our latest trip. All you wanted to talk to me about was Liverpool. And
look, I got to talk to somebody about it.
I don't care.
For me.
Like every hour or something, like, and I said, stop, I don't care. You kept going.
This football team that Chris is playing. Thank you for saying it, right?
No offense to anyone who does care. I do not.
All right. Our final question comes from John Matta.
My dentist. I need to make an appointment. I got to call him.
Oh, this is your doctor?
Yeah,
your
dentist? Dentist.
Hey, Dr. John. He says, what's up, AJ, Mike, and Chris? How's it going, guys? Loved your recent podcast on the top themed resorts. Hilarious listening to all the great debating going on, but that's what's great about being a Disney fan.
Yes.
Hey, I have a fun question for you all. If you could quantum leap back in time, early 90s reference, into your previous younger self to a time when you were at Disney World, whether it be a great memory or an attraction you went on, Knowing all you know now about what changes that happened, rides, closures, shows, or parades like Spectrum Magic or Remember the Magic that ended, or new lands replacing old ones, what time period of memory would you leap back in time to re-experience? Keep up the amazing work you guys do. I love when new podcasts come out. I enjoy them a lot. John Matta. P.S. I know it is a Disney podcast, but I'd absolutely love to hear you do a Geauga Lake Six Flags and the history and memories you have going there.
That's a great idea.
We could do a Geauga Lake episode someday.
Yeah, Geauga Lake is important. Personally, SeaWorld, the SeaWorld Ohio we used to have somehow, something I want to look into.
Wildest thing.
That's interesting.
I've got one. Go ahead.
Well, there's two for me. One, the best trip we ever had in terms of just reliving a trip was when we went with our grandpa Masick, which was a really great time. We stayed at the boardwalk. It was so much fun. We did all sorts of great things.
It was really cool because like it was the first time we had someone not the five of us go with us on a trip.
Yeah.
And he'd been, I think, once or twice in like the 70s and 80s. But like it was weird to like have like see things like for the first time through his lens. And our grandpa, he was very... Like, he wouldn't have chosen to go to Disney by himself, but he liked doing stuff with us, and he was very, like, he's into it for our sake.
Right, like, I mean, he was a cop, you know? Like, he's not, like, he's not quite, like, skipping around fairy dust like us, but he was into it, and he had fun. It was a good time.
Was that the trip? We were at the boardwalk, too.
Yeah.
Well, we also, we had that great room with, like, that rec center by the private
pool.
Sega
Saturn.
That was a good memory, too, for all that.
But in terms of, like, stuff I miss, I just have to go at some point. In the early 90s, when I could still do things like Horizons and the original Journey into Imagination, like it would largely be about experiencing original Epcot.
I think for me, it would be the 25th anniversary celebration, that 96 time period, because that's when like you had some of the newer stuff popping off, but a lot of the old stuff was still there.
Yeah, you might not get to do World of Motion anymore, but
right, and that's okay. As long as Test Track was open,
it wouldn't be.
No, that was 98. That was the year I kept asking, "Isn't it open?"
Yes.
No, sir. Look right over there.
You came back the next year, still not open.
But yeah, I think I've talked about that before. That kind of 96, like mid 90s era was kind of my favorite sweet spot.
What immediately came to mind for me, and it must have just been like Christmas as a kid at that time, but truly seeing the Christmas show at the Contemporary.
Oh, yes.
It kind of blew my mind as a child.
Those Christmas shows.
I just remember being like, you kind of felt a little fancy, a little exclusive in that show. It's like happening right in your hotel and all these characters are out.
Because we'd never done like Broadway or anything.
Right.
We saw like plays at the Youngstown Playhouse for free trips.
What was that, Mickey's Holly Jolly?
Holiday show, yeah.
Yeah.
But and then on the same vein of what you said, the Millennium Celebration too.
Seeing that parade again.
That was the other one I considered.
Right.
At this point, seeing Illuminations Reflections of Earth again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep. Be great. Awesome.
We had a lot of good times.
Thank you for talking about it.
Clearly, we thought about this. That's why we do this podcast.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, that is...
Mike, schedule your next appointment.
I do need to do that.
Yeah. Actually, I also need to get to a dentist. All right. Good job, everybody. We have our next episode coming April 1st. We're going to try to coordinate a recording time because he doesn't do this at 10 o'clock at night like we do.
Can I not either?
No, this is a one-time thing. April Fool's, Chris.
Dang it.
But yeah, we're going to do our trip report from our recent Universal trip with our dad. So I got to
figure out. If he's willing.
We only have three microphones. We'll figure that out.
Did we ever actually formally ask him if he wants to do that?
Yeah, I think I told him on the trip.
Too.
All right, good.
Yeah, he's game. So that'll be fun. You guys get to hear from him, and I'm sure he'll say something derogatory about Mike or something. That'll be great.
No one ever does that.
Talk about how much Coke Zero you drank while Chris and I drank like 18 butter beers. That was fine, but he was worried about Mike drinking
the
problem is we leave it at Universal. You bring yours home.
That's right. Gosh.
I was also a little concerned.
If you ever want to, I wasn't, Mike, to be clear.
Thank you.
Like I said, we drank a lot of butter.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, every second you could get one, you had one.
Yeah. And none of this frozen or hot crap. Get the regular cold.
I did get one frozen. I was like, I need to do it once. It was all right.
Or the ice cream. You liked the ice cream version.
Yeah, the ice cream was good.
A potential hack about that, by the way, apparently you can get it at the Butterbeer, like, actual inside store.
That's right by the ice cream place in Diagon Alley.
Yeah, you get the ice cream there, because the ice cream line was always huge.
Ice cream was absurd.
Get it at the Butterbeer.
We'll talk about it, but I got that Earl Grey and Lavender ice cream.
Yeah, that was good, too. That taste was pretty good.
So look forward to that. And in the meantime, you can go to 90sDizzy.com to check out past, present, and future episodes of the show on the podcast service of your choice. Leave us a good review wherever you're listening to the show and reach out to us on social media or at 90sDizzyPodcast@gmail.com or the Q&A feature built into Spotify if that's where you're listening. And as you've seen, we will read and respond to your emails on the show.
I like that part.
We've talked about one day in the future here doing some sort of mailbag-centric episode. So we really hope you guys are going to start participating in that, and we could do like a full-blown...
Like answering at least a half episode.
Yeah, answering your questions on like vacation planning and stuff like that. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will see you next time right here on 90s Disney. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.